Today, what I want us to do is I want us to actually spend some time thinking about how can we know what God is like? This whole question, how do we know what God's like? How can we actually get to know who he is? How can we understand who he is? It's a question that different folks ask at different times, and quite regularly it comes up it comes up in a whole variety of different reasons. But a few years ago, a song was written, which I'm sure I'm going to play to you just now, which I think actually encapsulates the question for a number of folks. So, if we're talking about it. I think that mostly that song is interesting until they get to the end, where obviously she ran out of things to rhyme with. And it was like, phone, home, Rome, Pope, whatever, that'll do. But it's an interesting song, isn't it? And it's actually, obviously, many of us will remember it. And it's a song that is absolutely at the heart of the Christian message. It absolutely gets to the essence of what Christianity is all about. Gary, can you turn me down, please? It is a hugely helpful thing now, hopefully. Oh, I don't know whether or not we can actually kind of skip past this, Rhys. Can you? Thank you. That would really help. Just press the next button. Yep, that one. Perfect. There you go. Because at the heart of the Christmas story is actually the story is the message of incarnation, which is, of course, Jesus, who became one of us, who came amongst us, who took on human flesh. He left the glory of heaven and came amongst us as a child. And actually, when people want to know what the answer to the question is, how can we know what God is like? The answer is because we've seen him. because we know what he's like, because he actually came amongst us, because he has shown himself to us, because he didn't just kind of go, ah, well, I'm going to send them messengers, and I'm going to send them messages, and I'm going to throw lightning bolts, and I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. He didn't do that. He actually said the only way that they're going to understand who I am is to come amongst them. And I think that's an incredible thing, that God, the maker of the whole of the universe, would do this, that he would simply say, it is time for me to now come amongst you, to be amongst you. Now, I'm not sure whether or not, obviously, at that time there were buses. Well, there aren't buses, obviously. So I'm not sure that he would necessarily kind of do that. But the whole point was that actually Jesus came to live in a context, in a situation. He learned the language. He learned the job. You know, he was a joiner. You know, he did all of these things. He connected with people. He was a real person who experienced many things. And that is for us, to help us to understand what God is like. And so this whole idea of incarnation, about the embodying of flesh, the taking on of flesh, the fact that Jesus actually came amongst us, is at the very heart of the Christian Christmas story. I think that my doofer has stopped working. Hold on. No, you're going to have to press the button again, please. Thank you very much. This is probably one of the best-known verses that actually encompasses this. It's actually from the Message translation, John 1:14. It says this: "The Word became flesh." Jesus is the Word. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. He moved into the neighborhood. He moved in amongst the people. He connected with them. There were people who played tig with Jesus. Let's just think about that for a minute. There were people who played tig with Jesus. I'm sure they did. Or whatever. You know, there are people who climbed trees and he gave them a punty. You know, he moved into the neighborhood. He was real. He was with them. He walked with them. He experienced them. He had the experience of being amongst the family, of being part of quite a complicated family. You know, his earthly dad always looking at him and kind of going, "I know there was something different about you," and then effectively his step brothers and sisters. You know, he was part of that kind of family. Many of us are part of that kind of family. He experienced that kind of experience. He knew what that was like. He knew the complexity of that. He knew what it was like to lose his dad before he turned 30, when we know about his public ministry. We know that his father was around probably up to the time where they lost him in the temple when he was 12. But after that, between 12 and 30, he obviously lost his father. He knew what it was to experience grief and loss. He understood these things. He is not someone who is remote and distant, but understands us because he is in things with us. He moved into the neighborhood, and in doing so, there was such a profound sense of him connecting, him expressing who God was. What is God like? How can we get to know what God is like? Well, we look at Jesus. He is the one who shows us these things. And again, Breesh. Therefore, the Lord, back the way, getting carried away now. One more, go back the way, thank you. Okay, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. God with us, God with us, Emmanuel, that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. He wasn't distant from us. He wasn't separate from us. He was right in there with us. And actually, that's something which, it communicates so clearly the heart of God. That is what he wanted to communicate, that actually you're not on your own. You're not in this on your own. I am with you. I am with you. And you know, Jesus said again at the end of his time with his disciples as he was going up to heaven, he said, I will be with you always. I will be with you always. His promise is he will always be with us. We are never alone. You know, I know that a number of folks have kind of experienced this sort of the inner healing ministry that we do here. And one of the questions I know that gets asked regularly is, when we think about memories that have been difficult for us and situations that have been difficult for us, the team will ask the question, Can you now look again in your memory and look and find out where Jesus is? Where's Jesus in the room? And for so many people, that completely blows their heads, because the memory, which is so painful, so difficult, often what happens is that in their mind's eye, they picture Jesus alongside them, weeping with them, holding them, standing close to them, not far from them, not distant from them. And suddenly, these terrible memories, these broken places, these difficult experiences suddenly come into a different perspective, because suddenly we discover that God was always with us, that he never abandoned us, even in our darkest points, even in our most bitter memories. Jesus was with us. And sometimes that's hard, because we sort of think, well, why did he not jump in? Why did he not change things? Why did he not make it better? But actually, you know, we know that. We know that actually because we have free will. We want to be able to live our lives. And actually, we can't have God just charging in and breaking everything and stopping us from doing things. You know, we live with the consequences of the life around about us and the choices that we make and the things that happen to us. And actually, what God wants us to know is this. Even in those moments, I am with you. I've always been with you. I've always been with you. Emmanuel, God with us, now and in the past and in the future. Okay, thanks, Bruce. Next one. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. That verse, actually, that section, just simply, it could be translated, he emptied himself of all that he was. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus walked amongst us, not as some sort of, but some people kind of look at Jesus and the stories of Jesus, and they look at him, and they kind of go, well, of course he was able to do that. He was God. And it is true that he was God in character. He did retain the character of God. He didn't give that up. But what the scriptures are very clear about is this, that he released and let go of all of his godly power, knowledge, and ability to do all things anywhere as a result of coming as a child. He was a man, fully a man. He had the character of God, fully God, but he was man, full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And if we can understand that, then actually that is a huge element of understanding what it is that how we are supposed to live. Because you see, the thing is that actually many of us look at the life of Jesus and we kind of go, well, you know, he healed people because he was God. No, he didn't. He wasn't able to heal people. He wasn't able to heal people because he was God, because he'd given that up. He'd laid that aside. That's what Philippians 2 tells us. He gave it all up. He emptied himself. He put it all away, and he became like us. No, he wasn't able to heal because he was God. He was able to heal because he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a moment or two to realize that we are, as followers of Christ, men and women, full of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What that means is that all the things that Jesus did, we too can do. And are called to. So when he says, you know, when we see sickness and disease, our response should be to look at it and to say, that's not actually the intention of God. That's not his best and perfect plan for the world. Let's pray for that. You know, when we see people broken and hurting, we know that that's not God's perfect plan for them. We can speak into their situation and we can call them into the fullness of life that God has for them. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't suffering in life. I know that there's suffering, and that's part of our walk with God. But what I'm saying is that actually we are called to be as he was. We are called to be men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, able to do the things that he calls us to. And so when we think about these things, and when we think about who Jesus was, and when we try and work out what does that mean for us, then that's so important for us, isn't it? To understand that actually this is the call of God in our life, that we would be like Jesus was, that we would do what Jesus did, that we would say what Jesus said, that we would act as Jesus acted. How do we know how to do that? We know how to do that because we've seen it in Jesus. We go back again. We read the scriptures. We read the gospels. We see what it was. Everything running up to the time of Jesus was pointing towards him coming, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one that would sort everything out. Then he came and showed us what God was like. And the rest of the New Testament is an outworking of what that means and how that can function. Okay, the next one. And again, I really love the fact that actually what we understand the whole thing of the incarnation of Jesus taking on human flesh is this, that he was just like us. I love this scripture, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. It's the verse just before the raising of Lazarus. Jesus' dear friend Lazarus. Jesus' dear friend Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. And he was with Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, who were broken because Lazarus had died. And they knew that if Jesus had come before, he would have been able to save Lazarus' life. And they didn't realize that at that moment, at that very moment, what was going to happen was God was going to break out. The kingdom was going to come in a new way as Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. But before that, what do we see? We see the humanity of Jesus. He wept. Jesus wept. Next one. Jesus was thirsty. You know, we hear the story about how he sat beside the well, the woman of the well in John 4. And he said, can I have some water? he was thirsty. He was just like us. And again, he was weary and tired. Time and time again, the story of him actually having to step away, having to take some time, because he was just like us. He was tired. He was weary. Okay? Next one. He was tempted. This is an interesting one for us, isn't it? He was tempted. He was tempted by the devil, we know that. But actually, the bits that we don't necessarily get are the bits that most of us would kind of sort of say, well, yeah, that was okay for him, but he hasn't experienced the kind of temptations I've had. Well, I just want to kind of maybe put that in a little perspective, which is, I'm not sure too many of us have had the devil incarnate actually turning up and trying to tempt us. So I'm not sure we've actually had as difficult a situation as he has, but he was tempted. He was tempted in relationships. He was tempted in terms of greed. He was tempted in terms of power. He was tempted in terms of all of these things. And he resisted the temptation, but he experienced it. He knew what it was like. Next one. And he was betrayed. He knew what it was like to live in that kind of relationship. He knew what it was like to actually have people close to him who would stand and who would walk away from him. He knew. He understood these things. So, here's the absolute kicker of the whole thing, okay? This is the bit that I love the most. Because he was a human being, because he was a man, because he understood us and he walked through and he experienced all these different things, here's the bit that I am overwhelmed with again and again. It is this, that he chose us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have said no. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, he was free to say no. In that time when he says, I don't want this, I don't want this. He knew what was coming. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. He could have said no. But he chose to say yes. He chose to say yes to you and to me. He chose to make the way so that we would be able to enter into a new and living way with God. He chose us. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus was not pre-programmed. He was just like you and me. He had free will. He was able to choose, even at that moment, even after all the things had been said and done, he was still free to say, I will not go that way, I do not want it, and I'm not going to do it. But he said, I choose you. Okay, next one. How can we know what God is like. Because we see him. We see him in Jesus. We see him in Jesus. Why do we make such a fuss about Christmas time as Christians? It's because of the incarnation. It's because of God's taking on flesh. It's because all these things that we discover because he didn't come preformed, age 30, ready to go, doing the kind of the thing. Because he wouldn't have understood us. He wouldn't have related to us. He wouldn't have got us. But because he came as a child and he did all the things that he did and he lived in the way that he lived and he did all of these amazing things, that is why we now know this, that he understands us, that he gets us, that he's with us, and that he has chosen us. A loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and we thank you for all that he demonstrated of who you are. Thank you that the scriptures say that if we see him, we see you, Father. We thank you that he's your perfect representation. And so, Lord, as people, as we ask the question, how can we know what God is like? We thank you that we find here that actually that we can discover that what is God like? He is Jesus. He's exactly like Jesus because Jesus is God. This is how we should know. This is how we can know who you are, what you're about, how you function. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, we praise you, because of all that you have done for us, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As part of our celebration of this, well, we want to take time just to break bread together and to share in the common cup. We're going to have communion together. For those of you who don't know, it's a meal. It's a sort of a ritual meal, which helps us to remember what Jesus has done for us. It helps us to remember his willing sacrifice on the cross. We break bread, and the bread represents the body of Christ broken. And we share in the cup, and the cup symbolizes for us the blood shed for us. It is a meal which is absolutely overflowing with the love of God. It's intended for us to be a refreshing, renewing, transforming experience. As we eat and as we drink, what we do is we say yes to Jesus, and we receive more and more of him. And so the invitation is to all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, and who, having examined our hearts, know that we need more of God, that we need more of his love, that we cannot live unless we have more of him, that we are hungry for him and for all that he has for us, that we long that we would be transformed by his love poured out willingly for us. And so if you feel like that and that's what you want, then I invite you to come and to receive from us as we break bread and as we share the cup. Father, we thank you for this time, and we ask, Lord God, that you would now set these elements aside from their common use to this holy use in mystery, that they may be for us the body of Christ broken, the blood of Christ shed, that we would once again enter into his amazing, mysterious sacrifice, that we would be able to receive for ourselves the cleansing and the renewing and the hope that that brings, that we would once again receive to ourselves the love that is lavished upon us, poured out from heaven onto earth, that we, Lord God, would receive that complete transfiguration, that transformation that comes from you pouring yourself into us. And as we receive, Lord God, we ask that that would result in a myriad of praise, that we would thank you and praise you for what you've done, that it would result in an overflow, Lord God, in our lives of others being loved, others being blessed, others being encouraged, others being lifted up. And so, Lord God, come and have your way, we pray. Have your way. We love you, Lord. We want to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.